So I've been requested to say something about Srila Prabhupada. This is probably going to be a very short class because I'm not really going to give a class. I'm just going to be speaking something about my experiences with Srila Prabhupada. Okay? But anyway, I'll read this verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we are reading from Canto 4, Chapter 29, Text 39 to 40. Yatra Bhagavata Rajan Sadhavo Vishadashaya Bhagavad Gunanukatana Shravana Vyagra Chitasaha. Yatra, where? Bhagavataha, great devotees. Rajan, O King. Sadavaha, saintly persons. Vishada Ashayaha, broad-minded. Bhagavad, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Guna, the qualities. Anukatana, to regularly recite. Shravana, to hear. Vyagra, eager. Chetasaha, whose consciousness. And now there's another verse here, which is not written on the board. I'll quickly read that and the translation. Tasmin mahan mukarita madhubikcharitra piyusha shesha sharitaha paritaha shravanti Taye pibanti avitriso nipa ghada kamais tannas tishanti ashana tribhaya shoka moha. Tashmin, there, mahat, of great saintly persons. Mukavittaha, emanating from the mouth. Matu bit, of the killer of the Maru demon. Charitra, the activities or the character. Piyusha, of nectar. Shesha, surplus. Sharitaha, rivers. Paritaha, all around. Shravanti, flow. Ta, all of them. Ye, they who. Pibanti, drink. Avitrishaha, without being satisfied. Nipa, O king. Gada, attentive. Kanai, with their ears. Tan, them. Na, never. Spishanti, touch. Ashana, hunger. Trip, thirst. Bhaya, fear. Shoka, lamentation. Moha, illusion. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. My dear King, in the place where pure devotees live, following the rules and regulations, and thus purely conscious and engaged with great eagerness in hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In that place, if one gets a chance to hear their constant flow of nectar, which is exactly like the waves of a river, one will forget the necessities of life, namely hunger and thirst, and become immune to all kinds of fear, lamentation, and illusion. The cultivation of Krishna consciousness is possible where great devotees live together and constantly engage in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. In a holy place like Vrindavan, there are many devotees constantly engaged in chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. If one gets the chance to hear from pure devotees in such a place, allowing the constant flow of the river of nectar to come from the mouths of pure devotees, then the cultivation of Krishna consciousness becomes very easy. When one is engaged in constantly hearing the glories of the Lord, he simply rises above the bodily conception. When one is in the bodily conception, he feels the pangs of hunger and thirst, fear, lamentation, and illusion. But when one is engaged in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, he transcends the bodily conception. The word Bhagavad Guna Nukatana Shravana Vyagra Chetasaha, meaning always eager to find a place where the glories of the Lord are being heard and chanted, is significant in this verse. A businessman is always very eager to go to a place where business is transacted. Similarly, a devotee is very eager to hear from the lips of liberated devotees. As soon as one hears the glories of the Lord from the liberated devotees, he immediately becomes impregnated with Krishna consciousness. This is also confirmed in another verse. Satam prasangam mama viryasambiro bhavanti vidkarna rasaya naha kattaha tas joshanat ashu apavarga vatmani shraddha vatir paktir anugramishati. In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and to the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation, and thereafter he is freed and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begin. In the association of pure devotees, one becomes attached to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. In this way, one cultivates Krishna consciousness, and as soon as this cultivation is advanced, one can become faithful to the Lord, devoted to the Lord, and attached to the Lord, and thus one can very quickly attain full Krishna consciousness. The secret of success in the cultivation of Krishna consciousness is hearing from the right person. A Krishna conscious person is never disturbed by the bodily necessities, namely eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. I will try to say something about this verse, and then I will speak a little bit about Srila Prabhupada. I have very limited experiences with Srila Prabhupada, but share with you whatever I have. First of all, I want to thank everybody here, especially the management, Mahaprabhu, and Bhagavati Mataji, and every one of you for being so kind to me and allowing me to stay here and do some devotional service. And I'm very, very honored to be asked to speak something about Srila Prabhupada. So, we are in a very, very difficult situation. Somehow, we have turned our back on Krishna, and we have become covered over by this material energy. And this covering has become so dense that we have actually developed a physical body, a totally different identity. And in this physical body, the soul is suffering is going through so much suffering, bodily discomforts, thirst, hunger, and most of all fear. When the living entity turns his face away from Krishna, he is immediately affected by this fear because of his absorption in the material energy. And Prabhupada said, we are in the atmosphere of non-existence. So this fear ultimately is due to the fear of death, fear of non-existence. And this fear manifests itself in so many different ways. in the mind, anxieties, worries, feelings of insecurity, the rat race. You see out there, so many people are rushing every day trying to make money. And the reason why they're chasing after this greenback so much is because of this sense of insecurity. Even the rich people are still trying to make money. And this sense of insecurity ultimately is due to fear. And here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying, to free ourselves from this dilemma, we have to glorify the Lord constantly, hear the glories of the Lord. And not just that, but also we have to hear from the pure devotees. When the pure devotees speak about Krishna, there's a lot of potencies that we can actually experience. And by this constant hearing in the presence of pure devotees, here of course pure devotees mean there are two kinds of pure devotees. Those who are actually on the Mahabhagavat platform and those who are aspiring to that platform. Like what we have here, we are all considered as pure devotees in the sense that we are aspiring for that goal. And we are practicing the principles of pure devotional service, the nine principles of pure devotional service. So in that sense, we are also considered as pure devotees. But specifically in this verse, in this purport, the importance of hearing from the Mahabhagavat is emphasized. And in the later verses, it talks about the different stages of advancement. From faith we pick up this process, and then we go through purification, and then we become fixed, and then we begin to get some taste, and from taste we become more attached to Krishna, and then we start to feel some spiritual pleasures, ecstasies, and then bhava and prema. So this is basically what this verse and this purport is saying. Now, it is also stated in the Nectar of Devotion that a pure devotee is very, very rare. And it says, one pure devotee alone can inundate the whole world with love of God. And we actually see this is happening. Since Srila Prabhupada came to the West 40 years ago, this movement has been spreading, and it keeps on spreading. Srila Prabhupada, as we know, is not an ordinary guru. He's a Shaktivesh avatar, a Nitya Siddha, and it is said that the greatest mercy is to bestow the highest gift to the most undeserving. Srila Prabhupada personifies this greatest mercy, for he is none other than the mercy incarnation of Lord Nityananda. We all know the pastimes, how Lord Nityananda saved Jagai and Madhai, even though they offended him physically. And not only did he forgive them, but also gave them the highest gift, which is Krishna prema. So Srila Prabhupada is actually the mercy incarnation of Lord Nityananda. He is the Senapati that was predicted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago. Now Prabhupada, he often told us that he came to the West on the orders of his Guru. I have often thought about this. I tend to believe, I may be wrong, I tend to believe that Srila Prabhupada said that merely to instruct us on the importance of following the orders of the Guru. Because Srila Prabhupada, even though he was so elevated, he would always say things that make him appear ordinary. He would say that I've come to the West because of my Guru Maharaj. And all of you young Americans and Europeans are sent by my Guru Maharaj. He never took credit for himself. He always comes across as very ordinary. So the truth of the matter is that Srila Prabhupada, at the age of 17, left Vrindavan and came to the West against extreme difficulties. And the reason he came was because His heart was heavy laden with compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. And just like Vasudev Datta in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, he was willing to take upon his head the sinful reactions of everybody in Kali Yuga. So to speak about such a great personality like Srila Prabhupada, one has to be very, very qualified. And to be honest with you, I feel very inadequate today to speak about Srila Prabhupada. The truth is that my personal spiritual life has seen many ups and downs and twists and turns. So I'm totally unqualified to speak about Srila Prabhupada. But as requested, I will try to say something. I will share with you my experiences. Even though Srila Prabhupada has contributed so much, when his disciples think of him, it's usually his very personal, lovable qualities that attract his disciples more than anything. He was a very, very effulgent personality, very beautiful, very aristocratic, and very humble. And he has a very special look in his eyes. The eyes emanate waves of compassion and love. So, before I joined this movement, I was involved with the Ramakrishna Mission for about a year. And I was very much into trying to merge with Brahman. I was smoking pot and trying to merge with Brahman. Yeah. It was impossible. And life was so miserable. And then one day I met a devotee in a bus, Bali Madan. I went and spoke to him, and he invited me to his preaching center, so I went. And in the beginning, while I was chanting Hare Krishna, I was still maintaining the impersonal conception of God in my mind. I could not understand how God could do all these things, you know. So anyway, I kept chanting, and finally somehow or other, by the Lord's mercy and Prabhupada's mercy, I began to understand more and more the personalist philosophy. So we were there in Singapore for a while, and then we went to Malaysia, and we traveled up and down Malaysia and did a lot of programs with the South Indians. And in 1971, Srila Prabhupada came. Before Srila Prabhupada came, I used to observe one thing. There were four or five devotees there at that time, Hanuman Gopal, Bali Madan, Amoga, four of them. Sometimes they would talk amongst themselves about Srila Prabhupada, you know. They would talk about what he did and what he said and things like that. And then when they were talking about him, you could see on their faces a very loving expression on their faces. So when they talk about Srila Prabhupada, they have so much love. And you could tell by the way they look at each other, their eyes, the expression of the face. And I kind of picked up on that. I said, wow, these guys have a lot of affection for this person that I have not met. Who is this person? So I was very eager to meet this person. And finally, Prabhupada came in 71. And the very first time I saw him was when he got out of the car. After a long journey, he was feeling a little tired. And he was still wearing those shoes with a very curly toe. Like you see those genie, you know those genie? And I looked at him and I said, man, this guy is... He looks so ancient. You know, he looks so ancient. And at the same time, he was very grave. And the following night, we had a program at the Ramakrishna Mission. And I was given the service to throw flower petals along the path as he was walking towards the Vyasasan. And when I saw Srila Prabhupada arriving, he got out of his car and he looked at me. And his face was just beaming with happiness, with joyfulness. You could tell that he was just happy. So that night he gave a very good class at the Ramakrishna Mission. And we had a very nice kirtan, and everybody was very ecstatic, you know, especially the senior devotees. And the next day we had another program at the temple. This was the place called Ipoh. And after the lecture, Prabhupada was walking towards the entrance, and I was coming this way. And I saw throngs of people, men and women, mostly Indians, They were going forward, surging forward, and trying to touch his feet. And Srila Prabhupada, from not too far away, I saw the expression on his face. He was looking down at all these people, and there was just so much compassion emanating from his eyes, and at the same time, humility. And I thought to myself, this is a great personality. I still did not know him very well. But to be able to feel so humble in that situation where everybody is coming forward and trying to touch your feet. So anyway, after that incident Kuala Lumpur, this was towards the end of Prabhupada's visit. Prabhupada was about to leave in 2 or 3 days' time. And he was in a very wealthy Indian man's house. And during our travels to Malaysia, there was an Indian sannyasi who helped us a lot. And this Indian sannyasi, unfortunately, happened to be bogus. He was just making use of the devotees to enhance his own reputation. So anyway, to make a long story short, he was supposed to meet Srila Prabhupada in Kuala Lumpur at the same house. And at the same house, there was another lady by the name of Kamala Devi, and she was going to donate a piece of land to ISKCON. And Kamala Devi happened to know this sannyasi, and she didn't know that we had been associating with him. So when she saw this sannyasi, immediately he told Bali Madan that this person is bogus. He's a cheater, anyway. So all the devotees quickly went inside Prabhupada's room and told Srila Prabhupada that. So Srila Prabhupada, this person is bogus. He is a cheater and all that. He eats meat, he eats fish. And Prabhupada did not even hear what the devotee said. Immediately he said, "Where is he? Where is he? Bring him back, bring him back. We'll send him to Australia to be trained up," he said. So we were sending to Australia to be trained up. He did not even hear what they said about this person, the negative things that they said about this person. He was so transcendental that he just said, "Where is he? Bring him back." He showed so much concern. So we were sending back to we sent him to Australia for training. So after Kuala Lumpur, on the last day, we took Srila Prabhupada to the airport, and Prabhupada, it was at one point I went inside the public restroom. No, wait a minute. I think Prabhupada went inside the public restroom and I was coming out. I think it was the other way around. I was going in and he was coming out. Yeah, he was coming out. And he smiled at me in the restroom, and I was just nervous. I was just so nervous because, you know, I don't know how to act in the presence of such a great personality. So anyway, Prabhupada went and sat on a bench, on one of those cement bench, made of cement. And at that time, I was still very young. I did not know anything about Vaishnava etiquette. So I came out of the restroom, and I went to the same bench. And like a fool, I just sat right beside Srila Prabhupada. I didn't know what I was doing, you know. I just went and sat beside him. And there was nobody, the other devotees were busy arranging the tickets and all that. Prabhupada was very cool, you know, no reaction, very, very normal, very, very much himself. And then he turned to me and he said, "Do everything you do for Krishna, do it nicely. Do it nicely." So that was his instruction. So then he left Kuala Lumpur and went back to India. And after some time, after only a few months, I went to India myself with some devotees. We went to Calcutta. And I arrived there at night, so the following day, some devotees went to Prabhupada's office. Calcutta, this is the temple room, and Prabhupada's office is right beside it. And they told Prabhupada that this Chinese devotee has arrived. At that time, it was like a very big deal that a Chinese devotee has joined the movement. You know, there was a lot of people were talking about it. Oh, a Chinese guy has joined, you know. Chinese Malachi, you know, I mean, for Malachi to join is a pretty big deal. So they said, "This Chinese guy has arrived, so bring him in. So I went inside. And Prabhupada, the way he greeted me was like, he just saw an old friend, you know. He said, "Ah, you have arrived. come, 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 sit down, sit down. And I like, he was like greeting a very old friend. So I sat down and he asked me some questions. And after that, we went about our business. But there was one particular incident in Calcutta that I remember very clearly. And that was a very, very beautiful incident. We went to a home program. And during the home program, while the arctic was going on, the kirtan was going on, and Prabhupada was just, you know, he was in the crowd, and I was standing right behind Srila Prabhupada. And at one point, the kirtan was so ecstatic that Suddhananda Maharaj was jumping sky high. And I could not control myself, so I just yelled out, "Hey Govinda!" You know, I just yelled out, "Hey Govinda!" like that. And Prabhupada turned around and looked at me, and with an oceanic smile on his face. He was so happy. He had an oceanic smile on his face. You could see all his teeth. It was so beautiful. And that just lifted up my spirit so much. So very much. That was one incident in Calcutta that I remember. And after Calcutta, we went to Bombay. And Prabhupada went to Bombay first. I went later with some devotees. In Bombay, when he saw me again, he greeted me with that same friendliness, very, very friendly. But there was one incident in Bombay that I also remembered very clearly, and that was when Prabhupada was about to leave for the West. We all went to the airport to see him off. Two incidents. Yeah, there were two incidents. One incident was when he gave me my second initiation, and we were alone in his room, and Nanda Kumar was there, and he asked Nanda Kumar to leave. And we were together alone. And he gave me my Brahmin thread and taught me the Gayatri Mantra. And I was very, very nervous, very, very nervous. I did not know what to do or what to say. And I just very nervously blurted out, "Srila Prabhupada, you're so kind." You know? So he very lovingly tapped me on the shoulders. And at the same time, he was wiping away tears from his eyes. And I was just nervous. And I quickly walked out. Went and collected some Guru Dakshin, came back, gave it to one of his disciples. Another incident was before he left Bombay. We were all sitting in front of his Vyasasan, and the kirtan was going on. And right beside me was Surabhi. And Surabhi had just taken his first initiation. Surabhi is that architect who designed all those buildings, all those temples. So he was sitting right beside me, and he was in ecstasy. He was glorifying Prabhupada. And I was very much affected by the mode of ignorance that morning. I was feeling very drowsy. I could not get into the kirtan. And when I saw beside him, and I saw Surabhi feeling so ecstatic, I was feeling envy in my heart. Because I was thinking, oh, you know, I'm a second initiate. You are just the first initiate. I was feeling this envy, you know, in my heart. And Prabhupada picked up on it just like that. It's like he was in touch with the super soul at all times. He picked up on it just like that. And he looked at me and very, very sternly looked at me like that. And I could tell that he knew what I was feeling in my heart. You know? So I quickly turned away, and that was an incident. Taught me a good lesson. And after Bombay, the next place that I met him was in Vrindavan. And this incident was also a very beautiful incident. Prabhupada had just come back from the West, and I was just walking towards the Radha Damodara temple. And from a distance, I was coming this way, and Prabhupada and his entourage were coming this way. So from a distance, I could hear the kirtan, and I turned around the corner to see what was going on, and I saw Srila Prabhupada. You know, I paid my obeisances, and I quickly joined the entourage. And Prabhupada came in and walked into the Radha Damodara temple. It was a courtyard. There's a courtyard there. And the very first thing he did was he went straight to see his friend. His friend was a pujari. And this pujari, he smokes bidi and all that. And Prabhupada lived in the Radha Damodara temple for a long time, so he knew this guy very well. And he immediately went to meet him and greeted him just like an old friend, you know. And so by that time, Prabhupada had a stack of garland around his neck, a stack about this high. So he sat on a chair facing the courtyard, and he instructed every of his disciples to come and pay their obeisances. So Every disciple came and paid their obeisances, and Prabhupada would garland each disciple. And when it came to my turn, I did the same thing. And he gave me a garland. And I looked up, and he looked down. And for a few moments, our eyes met. And I could see so much love. There was so much love in his eyes. I actually felt that he extended an invisible hand to his eyes, to his looks. He extended an invisible hand and caressed my heart. It was so touching. It was just so, I just can't express it in words. That was just, I don't know how to explain it. It was a very beautiful experience. And after Vrindavan, I went to High Madras to collect some money, some donations, and to make some life members. And then I came back to Vrindavan, and the last time I saw Srila Prabhupada, he was having his massage. And I had 60 pounds at that time. I gave it to Srila Prabhupada. And I made a very, very big mistake in my life. I left Vrindavan and went to the Philippines with some devotees. And I never even asked Srila Prabhupada's permission if I could do that. So those were the experiences, the limited experiences that I had with Srila Prabhupada. And what I really would like is to hear from all of you how you feel towards Srila Prabhupada. Many of you, the grand disciples, you have been here for so many years, steadily serving the Lordship, carrying out Prabhupada's mission. The grand disciples are actually more dear to him, and he's more accessible to you. It is only by his mercy that I'm today, that I'm still trying to chant the holy name. Without his mercy, there is nothing in this world. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you.